Hare Krishna.
What verse we are on? 15? Which verse? What? 16? I hope you will pardon me. I was just asked to give class 5 minutes ago, so that is the only reason we're starting late. Because just 5 minutes ago I was asked to give class. Yadiyapiswa viditam sakala dharmang brahmang guyang brahmanaye darshita marjena samadbir upayar janatam anushashasha yadyapi. Give its translation. Although Lord Rishabhdev knew everything about confidential Vedic knowledge, which includes information about all types of occupational duties, he still maintains himself as a Kshatriya and followed the instructions of the Brahmanas as they related to mind control, sense control, tolerance, and so forth. Thus he ruled the people according to the system of Varnashram Dharma, which enjoins that the Brahmanas instruct the Kshatriyas and the Kshatriyas administer to the state through the Vaishyas and Sudras. So this is, of course, in half an hour we can hardly cover this deep subject matter. But you please repeat and meditate. Try to hear the shloka as we go phrase by phrase. Try to hear the rich meaning here. Although Lord Rishabhdev knew everything about confidential Vedic knowledge.
Knew everything about confidential knowledge.
Together. I wasn't trying to set up a competition here. Which includes information. About all types of occupational duties. He still maintained himself as a Kshatriya and followed the instructions of the Brahmanas as they related to mind control, sense control, tolerance, and so forth. Thus he ruled the people according to the system of Varnashram Dharma, which enjoins that the Brahmanas instruct the Kshatriyas and the Kshatriyas administer to the state. Yes, that's what it says. To the state. Through the Vaishyas and Sudras. See, this is very... I'm going to read this again because it's a very interesting choice of language. Instead of just going, you know, water off a duck's back, we have to try to catch these words because this is the Shastra. This is Shastra. This is the... As the one Prabhu and Bhagavad Gita class the other night. I don't know how many of you heard the Bhagavad Gita class the other night, but I heard it over the loudspeaker, how he's pointing out so nicely, I think his name is Gopal or something, is that right? Gopal? Gaur Gopal? He was giving class that night. So I heard it on the speaker, very pukka. And he was pointing out the sweetness of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that it is Krishna. So, this is Gopinath. Try to understand. Gopinath is not limited to the altar. How many of you think that Gopinath is limited to the altar? That's good. Now, you need to stand by that, you know. You know, you can never tell a lie in front of a deity. You're talking in front of deities now, you know. You can never tell a lie in front of deities. So, Gopinath, try to understand that what that nice Prabhu was pointing out in that class that evening was, right, although he phrased it differently, this is Gopinath. You get that? This is Gopinath in his book Incarnation. So it's a very intimate darshan. Just see, I am now touching the transcendental body of Gopinath. As much as I would like to go on the altar and, you know, be able to give him a foot massage, but it is the same touching this book. This is book Bhagavata. This is Gopinath incarnated in the form of a book. So, we get extract the meaning of this extraordinary and somewhat unusual choice of language here. This is the Bhagavatam. The Kshatriyas administer to the state. Say it. That was feeble. The Kshatriyas administer to the state. You see the language here. This is, see, normally the Bhagavad doesn't say the Kshatriyas administer the state, which normally in a normal conversation we say, and so he is the in charge of, he's the mayor of Mumbai or something, just like I met the sheriff of Mumbai out of the program in the prison. So you'd say so and so mayor administers the city of Mumbai. That's how we would normally phrase it. But here he says the Kshatriyas, the Shastra says, Bhagavad says, the Kshatriyas administer to the state. So this indicates that they are the servants of the state. Of course, in modern politics, they claim that's what they're doing. Oh yes, I am public. I am public servant. Oh yes, yes. You know, elect me, and I will do X, Y, Z, and other lies. You know, this is You know, the Prophet had a very low opinion of politicians, unless they are willing to take Krishna consciousness. And well, in the we're hearing in the Lilamrita reading, today we'll hear more about Srila Prabhupada's going to see Indira Gandhi, you know. So he was always pushing to reform the politicians, to put them in line with the Vedic version. If you recall the 5 points that he made, to bring the state into the in line with the Vedic version so that there can be peace, harmony, and happiness in society. That is Varnashram. So we should try to understand this word, this use of the word to, then, is significant because the Kshatriyas administer to the state means they are the servants of the state. What is the state? The state means praja. The state doesn't mean an institution. The state does not mean simply bricks and mortar and money and whatever, you know, that make up. Okay, state doesn't mean bureaucracy. That's not what Bhagavat is saying here. Otherwise, why would the Kshatriyas administer to a bureaucracy? Is that what Bhagavat says? Hey? What do you think, sir? Does this verse say the Kshatriyas administer to bureaucracy? No? That's not what it says? No, it doesn't say like that. You're correct. I'm just checking. So, Kshatriyas administer to the state. So what is the state, you see? If the state is not a bureaucracy, is it a plebiscite? The word English word plebiscite, is it just a collection of a bunch of people? Is that what the state is? Well, actually, the state, in the Vedic conception of state, the proper conception can be summed up in one Sanskrit word, and one Sanskrit word, that word is praja. Praja. Now, so, Prabhuji, what does praja mean? Ah, very good. Very good. All living entities residing in that area. That means the cows, the birds. That means cow protection, doesn't it? The birds, even the dogs. Of course, things are so perverted in India today. I've heard there are laws protecting dogs, but not protecting cows. In other words, you're not supposed to kill street dogs just because they can be a bit of a nuisance. Apparently, it's against the law to kill street dogs, but killing goats is okay. Killing sheep, lambs is okay. Killing, cows is okay. But killing dogs is not okay. This is vintage Kali Yuga, you know. So, praja means the citizenry. So, this is the true conception. What modern politicians spout out as a bunch of what you call rhetoric, you know, word jugglery, fancy words. And if you vote for me, I will make certain that you have 4 chapatis on your table, not 3. Just give me your vote. You know, this is modern politics. You know, and lying, cheating, fraud. This is modern politics. No integrity, no truthfulness, satyam, conspicuous, you know, truthfulness, satyam, conspicuous by its absence, all lying. Prabhupada talks like that. You listen to Prabhupada tapes, liars, cheaters, bogus, you know, always Prabhupada talking like that, you know. So, actually, he was very happy. If you listen to the tapes, he was very happy when former President Nixon in the U.S. In the 1960s, he was brought down by the impeachment. Well, the pressure for impeachment was there. Finally, he had to resign because of the pressure was so hot for impeachment. Means to force a resignation over a scandal of how he had been wiretapping and all these things. The pressure was so great he had to step down. And Prabhupada talked about that again and again and again and again. He liked that. And he would just rail against politicians. They must be rightly situated. They must be advised by the brahmanas. That is the vanashram system. So, of course, Tridas was talking a bit about this in his class also. But I just want to clarify one thing is that we are not in this Krishna consciousness movement trying to reestablish Varnashram Dharma the way it was done previously in the golden age of the Vedic culture. Do you all know that? Do you know that? That is not our mission to reestablish the Varnashram system as it was in the Vedic culture exactly. It is a Desha Kalapatra consideration. You know Desha Kalapatra, Prabhuji? You know the meaning Desha Kalapatra? Hey? Yes, very good. It's nice being around devotees that have a half-decent spiritual education. I give classes all over India. You would be surprised. How many Prabhus? They don't know this philosophy. At least you know something of the philosophy, you see. So many Prabhus are doing seva, and they're doing so many things, but they're not reading in Prabhupada's books. They're not understanding the philosophy. I could ask a question like that. I was in Tirupati. I was asking so many Prabhus, been years in the movement, don't know some basic words, and I am not at all a pundit. But there are some conceptions. That happens to be one of the most important conceptions, especially if somebody's going to do any kind of management and so forth. Desha Kalapatra, time, place, and circumstance. So, the Desha Kalapatra consideration made by Srila Prabhupada is that we should not attempt to reestablish Varnashram Dharma the mundane Varnashram Dharma. We have no interest in establishing the mundane Varnashram Dharma. Because if you look at the famous conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, you will see that Ramananda Roy began when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, this was, you know, Lila, this was play acting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is play acting the role of the inquirer. Questions. He's asking questions like Maharaj Parikshit, right? Mahaprabhu is the personality of Godhead. Furthermore, he's Acharya. But he's play acting the role of asking questions like somebody might ask questions in a college class or something like that. You understand? He's play acting. It's Lila. So he is asking Ramananda Roy, so what is the purpose of life? So Ramananda Roy begins by saying, the purpose of life is Varnashram Dharma. So that human beings can be human beings instead of animals and so forth. So he begins with this statement. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so what was his response? What was Mahaprabhu's response? Prabhu? What was his response? Huh? You have to speak louder because actually... Yes. He said, that is external, that is mundane, that is material. Tell me something else. And this is the way the whole conversation is going, on many points. And Ramananda Roy keeps ratcheting up, you know, starting, but he starts with Varnashram Dharma, then gradually he's going up, 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 up. And Mahaprabhu is, even a shocking thing about that conversation, very shocking actually. But we as devotees, we are aspiring devotees. We're not real devotees in a sense, but we're aspiring devotees under the shelter of Guru Gauranga, under the shelter of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. We're aspiring after becoming Shuddha Bhaktas or first-class devotees. But there's something very shocking that we should really get from that conversation. Shocking. Because after scrolling through many different things and getting to a higher level of the discussion, Ramananda Roy says, Sarva dharmam pratityajam mamekam saranam braja. He quotes the most famous verse of the Bhagavad Gita. But what's shocking is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not very enthusiastic about that shloka. That's shocking. He says, yes, that's okay. That's good, he says. Sort of like, okay, fine, you're getting warmed up. You're finally getting somewhere. That's good. That's about all he would say about this most important shloka of the Bhagavad Gita. It's good. That's okay. But can you please say something more? That indicates that giving up all kinds of mundane activities, giving up all mundane dharmas, giving up all these things, that's just to bring one to the point, the beginning point. You see? You follow? That's to bring one to the beginning point. Somebody moves into a temple, that's the beginning point of an opportunity. It's not automatic at all, by the way. Not at all. Living in a temple does not mean automatic bhakti. No. Bhakti is a matter of the heart. So, moving into a temple is the beginning of an opportunity to surrender. It's just the beginning. Therefore, Mahaprabhu said, this is good, but, you know, you tell me something more, please. You know, because that shloka has nothing to do with Raganuga Bhakti. Do you realize that? Has nothing to do with Raganuga Bhakti. It has to do with dumping your anartas. That shloka has to do with dumping all your unwanted nasty things out of your life and just focus on the process of bhakti so you can get out of the darkness of ignorance or avidya. So it has nothing to do with Raganuga. Because somebody situated on Raganuga bhakti, they don't have to give up anything. They already want Krishna. They want to do something nice. Already they want spontaneously to do something nice for Krishna. Oh, some flowers. Oh, let us do something nice for Gopinath. Oh, some scented oils. Oh, those will be just right. Let's see which ones we can buy and we can use them for Gopinath. And it has to become obsession. Raganuga means obsession. Do you know that? Do you know that, Prabhu? Yes. Well, today then you learned at least one thing you remember from this class. Raghunuga means obsession. Obsession. You become obsessed how to give pleasure to Krishna. Now, that should ring a bell. Who amongst our acharyas are obsessed about giving pleasure to Krishna? All of them. And where do they get it? We say, Gopi Parakalamam Das, Anudas, Anudas. So all we are serving a whole line of manjaris. Srila Rupa Goswami is manjari, Sanatana Goswami manjari, Narottam Das Thakur manjari, Srinivasacharya manjari, Sad Goswami's all manjaris, like that. Down to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur manjari, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur manjari. Prabhupada, we don't know exactly, because he never revealed his swarup to any one disciple, not even one. So, that mood of obsession for the pleasure of Krishna, that's the mood of the gopis, is it not? Yes? That is the mood of the gopis. Now, we are not on the level, high level to be manjari level, no. But the seva mood, that we can take, is it not? Seva. If it's about seva, that's bona fide. If it's about sense gratification and fantasy, that's not bona fide. In other words, sahajya, we make that distinction. Sahajya means taking it cheaply. Oh, Radhe, oh, Krishna. You know, but Prabhu, can you wash the pots? Oh, no. That, you see what I'm saying? That's on the sahajya side. Radhe, Radhe, Krishna. Oh, Prabhu, please wash the toilet.
No, never, never. That is for Sudra.
You see? Oh, really? So Gopinath does not know the whole campus? That is Kanista Adhikari. The deity is just in the temple. That is Kanista Adhikari. He can't tell what's going on. No, no. He monitors everyone very, very carefully. Do you know that? Prabhuji? Do you know? The Gopinath is monitoring each and every one of his devotees. Do you know that he's very fond of his little conditioned soul devotees who are struggling to act on the liberated platform? Do you know that? You do know that. That's good. That's good. You need to know that. You need to know that in order to render devotion. Otherwise, how can you be obsessed about doing something nice for Gopinath? It must be an obsession, bordering on madness. Do you understand? Bordering on madness. If you wonder where that comes from, it's Prabhupada's order. Prabhupada's order to all his disciples and all of his followers. See, the Prabhupada's order is just become mad after Krishna. Is it not? You've heard that? Yes? You've heard? Just become mad after Krishna. That it means we have to become obsessed how to give pleasure to Krishna. Through parampara, of course. Through the parampara, under direction of Guru, under direction of Vaishnava Acharyas. In this way, we have to become mad after Krishna. Through seva. Not through just any old way. No, no, through seva. So, this program that Srila Prabhupada wants, because we see that Ramananda Roy presentation, Varnashram is the way to go, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejects, therefore what interest would we have in Varnashram? So Prabhupada was not, present tense, is not attempting to introduce Varnashram Dharma that was rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That wouldn't make any sense, would it? Huh? Is rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Prabhupada wants to introduce Varnashram. That doesn't make any sense. So what does Prabhupada intend, what did Prabhupada intend us to establish starting 30 years ago? You know, Daivi Varnashram. So in this discussion about Varnashram, the word Daivi must always be added. So what does that do? to the conception when you add daivi, Prabhu? What does that do when you add the word daivi? Loudly, please. Becomes what?
Spiritual.
Yes, becomes spiritual. It must be from the same root word as deva, divine. Divine varnashram. Prabhupada used the phrase Krishna-ized. We have cars in this Krishna consciousness movement. They're Krishna-ized. That means Krishna is added in. They're utilized in Krishna's service. They're utilized in the service of Gopinath, so that we can go around and tell everyone about Gopinath. Is it not? So we engage everybody as representatives of the Guru Parampara, making a tasteful arrangement for others to come into the circle of Srimati Radharani. Do you know that's what preaching actually is? Eh? Do you know that, Prabhu? You do know that? That's amazing. That's very good if you actually know that. Preaching means canvassing. Canvassing, some you don't. Prabhupada uses the word canvassing. Krishna is canvassing. Come on. Prabhupada paraphrases Krishna all the time. Come on. Give up your dirty dance and come dance with me. That's Gopinath. So that's Gopinath talking. You see? Gopinath is saying, give up your dirty dance and come dance with me. So we are doing like that. In Krishna consciousness, we're doing like that. Oh, by the way, how many of you noticed that it rained last night? How many noticed it rained last night? It rained last night. How many of you know why it rained last night? I suppose it was a low pressure system, eh? Low pressure system? Just some random chance. Some random chance phenomena, is that right? Eh? Some random chance phenomena of just the right chemical combinations and this thing and that thing, and somehow or other some out of season phenomena takes place. Oh, but it could have been sometime, because sometimes it does rain. Word jugglery, is it? But is that what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita? No. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, from me, he says, I send forth the rains, and I withdraw. Sarvakarna karma, isn't it? Sarvakarna karnam, the cause of all causes. Krishna takes the credit. 9th chapter, 19th verse. He says, I send forth the rain, and I withdraw it. Thus Krishna gives the order to Indra. 9 states this year had severe problem with drought in India. 9 states, a disaster, a catastrophe. Farmers, over 3,500 farmers in Andhra Pradesh committed suicide. That's called disaster. And the politician lost the election because he didn't care. He didn't, because he was ministering to the IT elite and hobnobbing with the World Bank and didn't notice that 3,500 farmers died. So he lost the election, you see. Because it's the exact opposite here of Vrishabhdev, you see. It's the exact opposite. The Kshatriyas administer to the state or the Praja through the Vaishyas and Sudras. So everyone is representing the king and administration in this regards. So going back to the why it rained because Gopinath was pleased by the flower Puspa Jagna. Because he was pleased, therefore he caused it to rain. Not by chance. It's out of season, is it not? Out of season. Why is it raining out of season? Now, I've warned Shyamasundar Prabhu And I'm actually going to ask Radhana Swami to warn him. I've warned Shama Sundarsu Prabhu that this upcoming Cross Maidens Festival, there must be waterproofing over the stage so that the electronic equipment can be protected from the rain. Because we don't know when Krishna is going to send the rain. But if you have 100,000 people chanting Hare Krishna, and if this chanting of Hare Krishna, of Maha Super Sankirtan, Super Maha Sankirtan, and this is going on for 8 days, it is going to rain. You know what? I cannot tell a lie in front of deities, okay? Then if Gopinath wants to make me a liar, okay. But I'm saying in front of deities it's going to rain. Now, of course, he's independent. It was very deceptive. You realize that he's very deceptive. Gopinath is very deceptive. He's standing there all sweetly with his... But you know, his smile is very, very disarming. You know, last year I was singing the Samsara prayers, Mangalarti here, you know. And I was gazing at Gopinath, and I got distracted, and I forgot what verse I was on. I flubbed the verse, because I was just, you know, and, what verse was I on? I forgot. You know, I got disarmed. So this time, a few days back, I sang Mangalarti again. I was determined not to make the same mistake. I could only kind of glance at Gopinath, you know. I couldn't just really stare at him, because then I didn't want to forget which verse I was on. You know, because he's disarming. You know, the word disarming is like you, something dangerous, you take the, you know, disarm. We're dangerous because we're fools and we're asses and we're in the material world and we're just, you know, like, this is an insane asylum. We're all insane because we have taken something other than Gopinath. Is it not? We've taken some other conception, something outside of Gopinath we've taken. So we're all mad in the wrong way, material madness. So, but Gopinath disarms. It's just like if there's a hand grenade, or police have these special squads, you know, they put on special helmets and special armor and all that, and they go in bomb squads, you know, to like disarm a dangerous bomb or something like that. So Gopinath is disarming. We come in, I'm good, I'm advanced devotee, I'm hot stuff, have to do this, you know, but if I... with pride, with false ego. But then we should be allow ourselves to become disarmed by Gopinath. I just pull the fuse. Okay. So we can calm down and become actual bhaktas. Yes? We can do like that. So, I'll read from Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Although Rishabhadev knew all the Vedic instructions perfectly well, he nonetheless followed the instructions of the Brahmanas in order to perfectly maintain the social order. So remember, I told you to pay attention to that Sanskrit word. Brahmam. Brahmam means Vedic instruction. Guyam means very confidential. So, he was himself learned in the Shastras and he knew what to do, but still, he was, actually Rishabhadev was, although he's Kshatriya, but actually he was Acharya. He's setting the example. Because remember, in Vedic culture, the king has absolute authority and absolute power. Somebody lives or dies on his instruction, is it not? He is considered to be God incarnate. That's why in Europe, the king, the same thing was carried over into European medieval culture. The king was considered God incarnate. Well, where did they get that from? You see? Because in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that the Kshatriya kings that were driven out of Bharatavarsha by Parashuram, so this would have been in Treta Yuga, long, long time ago, When they were driven, the deviant Kshatriyas were driven out of Bharatavarsha by Parashuram, he was really conducting some major butchery, you know, his axe going at the speed of mind, seven lakes, filled up with blood. I mean, major butchery, because some deviant kshatriya had killed his father in like this kind of wrongdoings in the Mahabharata, the similar type of wrongdoing. They'd killed his father, so that's why Parashuram was so furious and was butchering him, slaughtering him. Seven lakes? I don't know where those lakes are. Anybody know where those lakes are? Anyway, seven lakes full of blood. That's pretty gruesome. Make a good movie, you know. I mean, people in the West, they go to horror movies. Forget it. Just let's do this Parashuram story. You know, seven lakes full of blood, an axe moving. I mean, I don't know, maybe they don't make it to India, but in America they like stories, bloody stories. They like, you know, stories where bodies get chopped up with axes and stuff like that. Well, hey, since, and then people, and millions of people go to see those things, you know, they pay money. You know, about 360 rupees it costs to go to a movie in America. So they pay 360 rupees. To go see somebody chopped up by some mad axe man or something like that. Okay, fine. You want to see stuff like that? Let's do it right. Let's do Parashuram. You know, seven lakes full of blood. For those who, you know, have got that kind of, you know, want something ghastly. That's a ghastliness, you know. So, the rest of the kshatriyas said, wait a minute, I think I'm out of here. So they ran like for their lives, you know. They didn't want to stick around to become another statistic in Parashuram's slaughter. So they thought, I'm out of here. And they fled to the west. And that's where the Europeans came from, according to the first canto Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, the Greeks were a tribe known as the Pulindakas. So they're from the kshatriyas, therefore the feudal system. This is a long subject. I mean, I can only bounce over it in 2 minutes, you know. That the king was considered God incarnate. They got that from the Vedic system, the perverted reflection of Varnashram Dharma. The knights in their armor and all that, obviously they were the kshatriyas. And they were supposed to have codes of honor and all that. Chivalry, right? You read in the school books, European knights, chivalry, you know, help the lady across the river, this kind of stuff. Chivalry. You know. That's because they were supposed to be the kshatriyas. Of course, there are many tales about good knights and bad knights. There were demons knights and all that. You know, also. But they were supposed to have, they were supposed to be kshatriya codes. They still had, those that were not demons, hardcore demons, still they were supposed to have some kind of kshatriya codes. But because the whole thing was fallen, of course, there are many evil knights and evil kings and evil princes, etc. You know, and they make a lot of movies about these things in America. You know, evil knights and evil kings, evil princes, the Dark Knight, you know, the one that's dressed in the black armor on the battlefield versus the white knight, you know, on the white horse, right? You know, they really get into it, you know. Because it's fallen, it's not the original Vedic culture, but in the Vedic culture even we see that how many kshatriyas signed up with Duryodhana. So even in 5,000 years ago, even in Vedic culture was there, fights going on like that, deviant kings and so forth. So, this Varnashram is very important as applied, Daivi Varnashram. So the king was there, then the kshatriyas, the knights, then the Vaisyas were the ones that became the lords in the medieval culture. They became the landlords and the wealthy merchants and so forth. This was the kshatriyas, like that. I am Vaisyas. And then the Sudras, laborers and serfs, and then he had lower than serfs. So the whole thing was there, the perverted reflection of Vedic culture. But the kings were not acting like Rishabhdev. And the church became the so-called Brahmanas. The Catholic Church became the so-called Brahmanas that advised the king. The king was expected to follow the orders of the church. And if the king did not follow the orders of the church, sometimes they might arrange for him to be deposed or assassinated. The cardinals, you see. So where did they get all that from? That's all a perverted, fallen reflection of the Vedic culture, you know. Maharaji? Haribol? is to chant japa and get the essence of the class at the same time. It's not, you know, if I ask her right now what I said, she won't know what I said. You know, somebody should tell her to really try to get something out of this. This is our Varnashram College. This is how we learn the science of the Vedic version of history and so forth, you know. So Rishabhdev knew the Vedic instructions perfectly well. He nonetheless followed the instructions of the Brahmanas. Like Prithvi Maharaj also, he was King Vena was brought down because he was a total deviant. The Brahmanas came to him with folded hands and asked him very nicely to follow the Vedic version. Sir, you really can't. We respectfully submit that you are persecuting the Brahmanas and you're stopping Jagna and all these. Sir, we respectfully submit you can't do this because it's in the Shastra. You know, you can't do this. And his attitude was, damn your Shastra! Don't bring it up again! Sir, quiet! Silence! Out of here! I am the king! Offer the sacrifices to me! Never mind your God! This is typical demoniac mentality. Ravana, even Ravana was smarter than that. Because Ravana had caterers of Brahmins that were doing pujas. His only mistake was that he was envious of Ram. And he lusted over Sita. Otherwise, he was doing the Veda culture very nicely. Same thing, Hiranyakasipu did a great job. You know that? Do you know? Huh? Prabhu? You don't know? You don't know that he did a great job of running the universe? You do know. Now you know. You have to read in Prabhupada's books, okay? If you read in Prabhupada's books, you know that Hiranyakasipu did a great job of running the universe once he was established. The only problem was, again, he had... That's from the mechanical, mundane standpoint, he did a great job. It's like saying when Mussolini was the dictator in Italy, I mean, Tredas isn't here, but he, you know, he's in Italy. Mussolini was a vicious, merciless dictator, but when he was dictator, the trains ran on time. It's a similar concept. No dharma, but the trains ran on time. So Hiranyakasipu did a great job of running the universe. The rain fell properly, all these things went on, but still he was persecuting the Brahmanas, he was doing all these evil things. But as far as the overall administration goes, he did a good job. But he was ruined by his envy of Lord Vishnu. That's always what happens to these demons. Ravana was ruined by his envy of Ram and his lust over Sita. So, of course, this is an entire seminar. This verse is an entire seminar, obviously. This is not a half-hour subject matter. The Brahmanas would give advice according to the Shastras, and all the other castes would follow. The word Brahmana means perfect knowledge of all activities. Now, that's important. That's heavy. The word Brahma means, not Brahmana, Brahma, means perfect knowledge of all activities. So, all of us then who are wearing sacred thread means we're supposed to become learned in all varieties of subjects and all sorts of things, you see. Just like when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, a bunch of we in America we say green behind the ears. You know, that means very neophyte. Barely reformed hippies, just shaved up, 2 years back, running around like animals, like what you don't know, some of our top sannyasis, one of our top sannyasis who is no longer with us, was running around nude, you know, on a place, and it's in the Lilamrita, it doesn't quite go into that much detail, but Prabhupada went up there to this place, Sebastopol, California, which I happen to come from that same area. And even as a Karmi, I went up there and was turned off by it because it was so... I mean, they're running around with no clothes on and filthy, dirty, everything. It wasn't even attractive, you know. I had no attraction for the place. I just was turned off. But it was all hippies, and I was like, belonged to a counterculture myself, but I was turned off. So that means it was pretty bad. But that's where Vishnu came from. That place called Morning Star Ranch. It's in the Leelamrita. That's where Tamal Krishna Maharaj came from. That's where Mahadisa came from, although Mahadisa is less known than Vishnu and Tamal Krishna. They came from there. And some other devotees, they came from there also. And that's Prabhupada's greatness. Srila Prabhupada's greatness, we should try to understand. Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught the animals how to dance and chant in the forest of Jharkhand. Animals chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada started this whole movement. He didn't start this whole movement with fixed up brahmanas. No. He started this movement with persons who were nudists not that long back, and hippies and fornicators and drug addicts and this thing and that thing, and cleaned them up. And it's another thing that's interesting in this verse is that this discussion about this use of the language, the instruction of the Brahmanas as they related to mind control. So the demonist America, they talk about mind control, the cults and the mind control, how we've, you know, the cults, the Hare Krishnas are lumped in with sinister cults, evil cults, dangerous cults, and mind control. We are accused of mind control. Yes, we should have mind control. That's a fact. We should have control of the mind. Otherwise, you have disaster. When the question of brainwashing was brought up, Prabhupada would just laugh. He said, yes, we must wash the brain. We must wash the brain. Brainwashing is good. So mind control. This is brahmana. We have to do like that. And Prabhupada, so we were just animals, but Prabhupada trained these animals to do all, how to cook. He taught Mother Jamuna how to cook, how to dance, you know. He taught how to dance. And he didn't teach the devotees to dance by sticking their rear out and doing the watusi. Ubu duba ubu udubu ubu, stick your rear around. He didn't teach us to dance like that. You know? How many times have you seen Jai Dwaita Swami dancing like that? Cartwheels in the temple room, these kind of things cannot be allowed. This is gross deviation from Prabhupada's teachings. I was in Chicago, 1975. And there was a big kirtan going on with, say, maybe 500-600 devotees, 700-800 devotees. Big, let's say 500 devotees. All the Radha Damodar Party buses were there. It was the installation of Sri Sri Kishore Kishore. They're bigger than Radha Gopinath. They're taller. Very heavy. I helped carry them. I had a dent in my arm for a couple of days from the weight. And there were six men carrying Kishore Kishore. Six men carrying one deity. And still the weight was so great that we could barely struggle to carry the deity, and I had a dent in my arm. You know, the mark was there. The next day, the mark was still there from the weight of the deity. Heavy. So that was the installation, and Prabhupada was there, and about 500, maybe 600 devotees, and all the convergence of the Ramadadar, Damodar parties, you know, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he wanted to make, submit 108 shaved heads as offering to Prabhupada. There was only one problem. He was scooping them up off the parking lots. They didn't know what they were getting into, so many of them blooped a day or two later, you know. So, but he offered up 108 to get initiated, you know. Of course, that's not the right thing. Not right to offer unfit persons for initiation by your Guru Maharaj. That's not the right thing to do. So one should be very careful. One should offer only highly. Well, you do that in Chaupati. You have this program, screening program. But in those days, see, this was what we call fudging. It was not proper way to do it, to take somebody off a parking lot, some long-haired dude. Just, hey, buddy, man, want to get in something cool? Sure. You know, okay, here, well, Okay, listen, we're going to do this cool thing with a fire, right? Okay. You know. So a couple of days later, I think I'll do something else. Of course, they're supremely fortunate. They had the darshan of Prabhupada. You know, they took initiation. It didn't mean much except that they will be brought back again. And the next life, or after much sinful activity, they'll be brought back again in association with devotees. So the big roaring kirtana is going on. You know, and the devotees, they were dancing like this, just like the Prabhus were dancing today for Guru Puja. You know. Yeah. You know. Allegedly for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So, this huge roaring, you're talking, you know, 10 mridangas, 20 kartals, you know, like 50 freight trains, you know, a lot of noise, what we call cooking it up, right? Prabhupada stopped it cold. He gave the order, and this huge roaring kirtan, he stopped it cold. And he stood up, the Vyasa said, not like this. And he imitated what the devotees were doing. And he said, like this. So he made him dance again, Vaikuntha. As you see in the old black and white films from the 1960s, you see how Srila Prabhupada trained us to dance. Go watch those old black and white photographs of the devotees in New York swaying beautifully like Vaikuntha, or watch how Indrajimya Swami trains his beautiful dancers, how the ladies, like it's from the Vaikuntha, how the lady, he trains the ladies to dance in unison dancing hall. Don't let these children go like that. Don't let them doing cartwheels in the temples and the ooga ooga and all this. And they get it from the adults. You know, of course the adults aren't doing cartwheels, but the adults just think, oh, so it's cute. Children will be children. Boys will be boys. That's not the way Prabhupada teaches. That's not His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. That's something else, you see. Problem is, you younger people don't know how many instructions Prabhupada gave forcefully. The reason I speak forcefully is because Prabhupada personally instructed me. A letter He sent me said, I'm depending on you, plural, not singular, not just me. I'm depending on you, plural, my senior devotees, to maintain, to see that there are proper spiritual standards in this movement. I am counting on you. I am depending on you. That's a personal instruction for me. I will go until I die with my last breath on that instruction. And of course, naturally, I work together with my God brothers in that regards, naturally. You see. Because otherwise, after we're all dead, and our bodies are dying fast, most unfortunately. And after all the direct initiates of Prabhupada are dead, then what's going to happen to ISKCON? This deviation, that deviation, this deviation, unless you people are fixed. Chaupati is one of the best temples in the whole world. You already know that. You have one of the best, you have one of the most exemplary of my God brothers as your acharya. You already know that. Therefore, I take the dust off of his feet and put on my head. Now, your duty is to fan out all over the world and help shore up this movement and make it very, very strong for Prabhupada so that he can do very nicely after all the direct initiates have left their body. That means we've got about 20-something years, 25 years or so to go. I looked at Bhavananda's hand. My God, Bhavananda's going to live to be 100. After my God brothers and God sisters dying right and left, I've taken the looking at the palms to see how the lifeline goes. You know, Bhavananda's going to live to be about 100 years old. Son, he's a forceful preacher. That's good. I'll have some company in my old age. I'm going to live to be about 90-something. Might as well get used to me. Get used to me, folks. I ain't going anywhere. So,
This is how we enter into the realm of Vraja. In this Gokula realm, we act very strictly. Acting strictly on this plane as following in the lotus footprints of our acharyas, beginning with Radhanaswami, then going Srila Prabhupada, of course, then following in the line of acharyas like this, then with this strictness, then we will be able to enter into Vrajadham and become the best of confidential associates of Radha Gopinath. They so much want that we should enter into the inner circle. Do you know that? You do know that. You know that. You know that? That's pretty good if you know that, hey? Yes? Do you know that, Prabhu? You know it. You know that? That's good if you know that. You know? Because Krishna plays this game on hide and go seek. Do you know that? Do you know that Krishna is very fond of playing hide and go seek? Do you know that, Prabhu?
You didn't get that word.
Hey? Hide and seek. Krishna, it's one of his favorite games. He plays hide and seek with his cowherd boyfriends. He plays hide and seek with the gopis. And guess what? He plays hide and seek with us. There's only one problem. He's playing hide. Are we playing seek? Get it? Are we playing seek? Sort of. Sort of. But I mean, there has to be lalyam lalas mahi, Nekar Rupa Goswami says. Srila Rupa Goswami, lalyam lalas mahi. Lalyam lalas mahi. Do you know what that means, Prabhu? You don't know what that means. You know what it means? He's sitting in Western jeans here, Western dress. He knows what lalyam lalas mahi means. But you do not, behind you, you do not know the meaning. Have you read Nectar Devotion? Does he speak English? English speaking? He does speak English? You're speaking English? Yes? Is that a yes? Have you read the Nectar Devotion? Hey? What? Half of the Nectar Devotion? So, we have to read these things. Lalyam lalashmai means intense greed. If Krishna is playing hide and go seek, then we have to seek. That means intense greed. Not otherwise. You know what happens? Otherwise in Krishna consciousness, what happens is we do our daily duties like a donkey. Today I do my seva. Now it's time to eat. Okay, now it's time to sleep. Tomorrow I do my seva. Tomorrow I eat prasadam. Very good. Now it's time to sleep. If you want to do devotional service like that, you can do that like that. But you won't develop love of Godhead very quickly. You slowly, 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 donkeys are not known to be fast. Eh? Why not do like a racehorse, but don't burn out? Be like a racehorse, but don't burn out. You know, following this program of Rishabhdev, example of Rishabhdev, we should know everything. This discussion began with the word Brahma, where Prabhupada again sees, Brahma means perfect knowledge of all activities. That's a very great charge. So Prabhupada taught us how to eat, how to sleep, how to evacuate, how to get married, how to have a sex life, how to sing, how to dance, how to read, how to cook, everything Prabhupada personally taught. That's our heritage, is it not? We shouldn't become so highly departmentalized that we don't need know how to do other things. If you want to look into the future and realize what this movement means, many, many qualified brahmanas just spread out all over the world, just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, and I send forth generations of men and animals. Yes? And go thou and be satisfied by this sacrifice. That's what Krishna says, is it not? More or less, I'm paraphrasing. That is basically what Krishna says. Like the Bible, the Bible. And go thou forth and be satisfied with this. So you all, Chaupati devotees, have to fan out all over the world. Take responsibility. Show up this movement. Make it very strong for Sita Prabhupada. Make it very strong for your Guru Maharaj. So the word Brahma means perfect knowledge of all activities. Many things you have to know how to do. Very pukka, very first class. And this knowledge is very confidentially described in the Vedic literatures. Men trained perfectly as brahmanas should know all Vedic literature. We get that. It doesn't mean we go to the library, Sanskrit libraries. We get that by studying Prabhupada's books. And the benefit derived from the literature should be distributed to the general populace. The general populace should follow the perfect brahmana. Perfect brahmana means Sita Prabhupada and his messengers. We're just messengers of Prabhupada. In this way, one can learn how to control the mind and senses and thus gradually advance to spiritual perfection. So does anybody have any questions, comments, corrections? Yes, speak loudly, please. It's not on.
Roji, you mentioned about...
A little louder, please.
You mentioned about Raganuka. The meaning of Raganuga is obsession. But in our conditioned state, we like to be obsessed and we try to gain pleasure rather than, you know, serve the Lord. So I would like to ask how to change that attitude of obsession.
Krishna consciousness, devotional service is approached incrementally. The first stage is to be obsessed over following the orders of the spiritual master. The orders of the spiritual master are coming from Srila Prabhupada and they are relayed by his disciples through the parampara system of Diksha and Siksha. So, first point is to become obsessed over following sadhana bhakti. Rise early in the morning, put on tilak. You see, you should always wear tilak when you come in front of the deities. It's not very difficult. Because you're asking me how you can increase your realization. That's how, it's not just some external show. We dress in a dhoti and we dress in a kurta. Get yourself a nice kurta. Get yourself a nice dhoti. You can wear white dhoti. You don't have to wear saffron now. I don't want to scare you, you know. You get yourself a nice dhoti, get a nice kurta, and put on tilak, you see. Then why? Is it just an external? Not exactly. Not exactly just external. Not exactly. Why? What is the ultimate reason that we do? Like, first of all, I don't want to disappoint you, my friend. I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to be the harbinger of bad news. But I'm very sorry, sir. You won't find anybody dressed like that in Goloka Vrindavan. There's a dress code in Goloka Vrindavan, and I'm very sorry. They won't let you in. There's a dress code. You see? So therefore, we should learn how to dress. How, ultimately? What is pleasing to Srimati Radharani and her sakis? What is that? Oh, to dress in such a way is to please Krishna. So it's not about institutionalism. It's not about tradition. It's not about all these external things. It's about the fact that Krishna likes to see us dressed this way. He likes to see his mark on our foreheads. Just like he put his foot on the head of Vamanadev. You see? He put his lotus foot on the head of Vamanadev. Similarly, we are imprinted with the lotus foot mark of Gopinath. He's got that mark. We've got that mark. Like father, like son. Understand? It's pleasing to him. Then actually, things start to light up. When you live for the pleasure of God, things start to light up. When you get out of your head, when you get out of your own mind, when you get out of the, you know, mundane realm, you live for the pleasure of God, you experience a change of heart. There was a record album by that name, right? Change of heart. Sometimes we used to call it heart surgery. The heart is compared to a lotus flower. If it's a closed bud, it is not as opulent as when it opens up. We open up the heart chakra by hearing and chanting, following the orders of the Acharya. That opens up the heart chakra. You see? Like that. So, first point is following the orders of the spiritual master carefully. Do you have a bead bag? You're chanting? Yes? Do you chant 16 rounds yet or no? You're chanting 16 rounds? Very good. In morning hours, early morning? Yes? Then you're reading in Prabhupada's books? Good. So you're well situated there. Then you just keep praying. You should offer your dandavat pranams to Srila Prabhupada and pray. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, please help me get some taste. The word taste. What is the Sanskrit word for taste, Prabhu? What is the word for taste? Yes, ruchi. Ruchi. You must get some ruchi. Taste. So you offer your dandavat pranams. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I can better serve your devotees if you please help me get some taste. Help me get realization. I'm a dead man. I'm a dull brain. I have a dull brain. I'm spiritually bankrupt. Please help me get some taste for serving your devotees, for hearing your message, glorious message, for seeing the deities. Please help me. Then you can pray to Radha. Once you take permission from Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, then you pray to Radha Gopinath. Oh, my dear mother, Radharani, you please help me. I am just a fool. I am very wretched condition. My heart is as hard as steel, like the steel girders that hold up this building. Will you please soften my heart so I can better serve your devotees? That'll work. I remember, I can't tell a lie in front of Gopinath, you know. If I tell a lie in front of Gopinath, I'm in trouble. You see. That's Shastra. Used to be when there was some fight and some disagreement and one person thought that the other person was lying. They say, okay, that's it. Let's go in front of the deities and settle it there. And they knew. Oh no, can't tell a lie in front of the deity. So then they come in and then maybe they would change their story, see? Because they knew that they could risk going to hell if they tell a lie in front of the deity. It's very serious. So, I'm saying that if you take this advice, you're going to feel your heart chakra opening up. I'm saying that in front of Didi, so I cannot tell a lie. Besides, Gopinath and Srimati Radharani and his sakis, they are very eager that you should come up. They're not pushing down. Pushing down is coming from material energy. Pulling up is from Guru Parampara and all the sakis that are on your side. You see? They are on your side. Our side. All the sakis, Srimati Radharani is on our side. You see? How could she be less? How could Srimati Radharani care less about her devotees than an animal cares for their children? Like a dog I saw in Tirupati, I heard all this. And I knew there was a bunch of puppies that were living on the street outside of the temple. I was up, my room was up on the fourth floor or something, and I heard all this dog barking and anxiety vibrations, you know, barking anxiety. A fight was going on. I looked out the window. It was a bunch of puppies. They weren't getting along. They weren't getting along. They were brothers and sisters, but they weren't getting along. There was fight, sibling rivalry. The mother was half block away. As soon as she heard, she recognized the voice of her children. She came running immediately. I watched with amazement. She came running immediately, half a block in the room, coming into, okay, come on now, chill out, come on. To see what is wrong. What is the problem? What is the emergency? Why are they crying like this? What is the problem? She's a dog. But she's taking care of her babies. Now, how could God be less than that? Or how could Srimati Radharani care less for us than a dog cares for her puppies? Is that possible? No. Not possible. So we just manufacture all kinds of mental speculations, you know. All kinds of mental speculations. Lifetimes of mental speculations. Just like at the Pune Yatra. So many Prabhus sent questions, especially to Jai Dwaita Swami. Frivolous questions. Not important. No one asked, how can I deepen my love for Prabhupada? No one asked. How can I go deeper in the essence of bhakti? Not one person asked. All kinds of frivolous technical questions they asked. What does that mean? Lifetimes of jnani, because jnana yoga is a precursor to bhakti. Comes before bhakti. Jnana becomes before bhakti. So who will do like that? Who is a devotee? Initiated devotee already. Dressed as Vaishnav, chanting on beads, everything, and asking all nonsense, frivolous questions, Jai Dwaita Swami was politely disgusted. And, you know, making his famous one-liners to try to put some intelligence into their brain. Why are you asking these nonsense, frivolous questions? You see? Because some of you people, very bright, IIT graduates and this and that, jnanis for many lifetimes. Forget about IIT. You've been jnanis for lifetimes. Now you've come to bhakti. Give it up. Give up this mental speculation. Go for the essence. Hearing, relishing. Go for the relishingness. Is that okay? You will do? Remember, you can't tell a lie in front of deities. So you have to do it. Then your seva, suddenly, out of nowhere, suddenly your seva becomes to enliven all the devotees. Because when you carry, when you are make good on your word that you are saying in front of deities, when you do like that, then the whole, these all these devotees here, they will become very lively. Say, oh, this is very nice. Just see, the Prabhu, he has taken some advice from a senior devotee. He is surrendering. Oh boy, this is great. And you enliven, your seva becomes to enliven the whole community. So out of where, nowhere, you become like that. Okay, I guess we're out of time. Any other question? Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Gopinath, Lalita Vishaka ki jai, Shri Natsi ki jai, Shri Gonitai ki jai, Grancha Shima Bhagavatam ki jai, Gopremanandi. Gracias.